Hello everyone, welcome to our podcast. I am Cynthia Delgado and today I am going to share with you the history of Berlin Wall, its origins until its destruction, and what this historical happening represents for German history. In this episode called The Great Divisions, I will relate to you the beginning of separation of both sides of Germany. And so far most important events. First of all, everything started by the time America, Great Britain and France joined forces with the Soviet Union, forming the Allied powers against the Axis powers, or the Axis alliance, which was formed in the 1936 by three main members countries that were ruled by dictators at the time: Germany, Adolf Hitler, Italy, Benito Mussolini, and Japan, Emperor Hirohito. This union was against an Anglo-American cultural and economic system that the Allied powers planned on applying across the world. Also, the Axis power was to achieve vast expansions through aggressive warfare. However, the Axis powers was defeated by the Allies. So, after the Nazi Germany was defeated, the eastern portion running along what was the other Neisse line was allocated to Poland to make up for land lost during the war. As a consequence, they split Germany into four Allied occupation zones. East German went to the Soviet Union, while the West Park went to the United States, Great Britain, and France. Even though Berlin was located entirely within the Soviet part in the country, the city was separated into four sectors in the same way. The Russians were determined to remove the United States, Great Britain, and France from Berlin. While Western promoted liberal market economies, the Soviet Union sought to surround itself with obedient communist nations, including Germany. This only became worse as their relations deteriorated. The Federal Republic of Germany was formed in the West, while the Soviet established the German Democratic Republic in the East. Gradually, as the Cold War was developing, the ideological barrier became a physical one. The Soviet satellite countries restricted Western trade and movement, so an impossible border was formed to prevent the intrusion of possible agents and spies. It became known as the Iron Curtain. In the former German capital of German, things were particularly complicated. What people don't know about the Berlin Wall is that it didn't run along the border between East and West Germany. Technically, Berlin was in the Soviet Union's territory, but since it was the capital of Germany, as well as the former home of the Nazi regime, it held a significant historical and political value. It only encapsulated West Berlin, which was located between of heart of East Germany. Also, the city lies fully within the East German territory of German Democratic Republic. The post-war agreement gave the Allies joint administrations. Therefore, America, Great Britain, and France created a democratic enclave in Berlin Western District. While East Germans were officially banned from leaving the country, in Berlin, it was simply a matter of walking or riding a subway, streetcar, or bus to the western half, then traveling to West Germany or region.
Everybody, welcome to the second episode with Maria Borja. And today, what I'm going to do is to give continuity to the topic of previous episode, that was the beginning of the separation. So let's continue with the topic, that is the construction of the Berlin Wall. This open border posed a problem for the East German leadership. They had a stake to claim to represent the communist resistance against Hitler and portray the Western Germany as a continuation of the Nazi regime. Why the United States allies poured money into the West Germany's reconstruction? The Soviet Union extracted resources from the East as a world operation making its planning economy even less competitive. But in 1961, about 3.1 million people, nearly 20% of the East German population, such as highly skilled workers like doctors, teachers, and engineers, have left, including many young professionals who were mostly under 25 years old and were searching for an instability life permanently. In the West, because the economy was so much better on the side of Germany. By many accounts, life in the socialist East Germany was abysmal, particularly compared to the democratic and prospering West Germany. Thousands of East Germans defected using a direct subway lines between West Berlin and West Germany to bypass the closer border. To Poland, and then to this Premier Nikita Khrushchev, leader of the Soviet Union, had a note and gave the East Germany government permission to close Berlin's borders for good. The construction of the wall was rumored for a long time. It was on June 16 at a press conference when Walter Ulbricht, the president of the DRG, was asked about the construction of the East, but he firmly denied it. But in less than 2 months, the construction of the wall started. In the early hours on August 13, 1961, while everybody sleep, East German construction flag by police and soldiers began tearing up streets, leaving out cobblestones without forgetting about the railways, which connected both German ties and erecting barriers throughout the city of Berlin. And its surroundings that night marked the beginning of one of the history's most infamous dividing lines, the Berlin Wall. The construction of the wall continued for the next decade, as it cut throughout neighborhoods, separated families, and divided the entire German nation. However, some people achieved to cross the Berlin Wall because they supposed what was about to come. Its purpose was to stop the Western fascists from entering the socialist state of the East Germany and stopping the faction from east to west. Standing for 43 kilometers throughout Berlin and further 112 kilometers throughout East Germany, the initial barrier consisted of the wall that weighed a mesh fencing. Most importantly, it was built in a provisional way in order to avoid the passage of people and goods. Even though this wall was much smaller and less elaborate than any German border, unfortunately, German sites had to pay the price for political difference by living separate. However, some Berlins escaped by jumping over the wall of living from windows, but as the wall expanded, this became more difficult. Could anything as vast as the Berlin wall be completed so quickly and without any anxiety until it was too late? To understand, we need to go a little bit deeper with this topic. At a time in 1961, the control of the border was under the direction of the German border police, the Deutsche Gendarmerie, DGB, which was a military formation, and because of it began to be considered as a military matter. Despite the troops of the army were formed to protect the Western Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and the world surrounding West Berlin. Since it was a part of the army, border troops were organized on the same basis as the rest of the army. Men were recruited from the population between age and 26, and their serve lasted for 18 months.
Hello and welcome to this third episode of the Past Stories podcast. I'm Jorge. In the previous episode, our classmate Maria told us about the construction of the Berlin Wall. And now, for this episode, I'm going to continue with some important facts during the Berlin Wall. So, let's start. Those who wanted to keep serving could prolong their engagement to be promoted into NCOs, or non-commissioned officers. One of the things that attracts young men from East Germany to the border troops was that they were promised a better education and help in seeking a good civilian job once their service was done. Even though the role of border troops was a popular one, recruiting criteria was extremely strict. Future soldiers had to be politically correct, as they were to protect the border against the capitalist enemy literally on the doorstep. Those who had even the smaller record of political dissent, or even those whose closer relative had showed the traits, were not allowed to join the border troops. By 1965, 106 kilometers of 3.7 high concrete barricades had been added, topped with a smooth pipe to prevent climbing. Over the coming years, the barrier was strengthened with spike strips, guard dogs, and even landmines, along with 302 watchtowers and 20 bunkers. A parallel fence in the rear set off 100-meter area called the Dirt Strip. There, all the buildings were demolished, and the ground covered with sand to provide a clear line of sight for hundreds of guards who were ordered to shoot anyone attempting to cross. Nevertheless, nearly 5,000 people in total managed to leave East Germany between 1969 and 1989. Some of them ran away. Berliners were diplomatic or athletes who defected as they were abroad, but other citizens who dug tunnels, swam across canals, flew hot air balloons, or even crashed a stall tank through the wall, including by zip line, on a side rope, in a car without a windshield, etc. Yet the risk was great. Over 138 people died as they were attempting escape. Some of them shot in full view of West German, powerless to help them. During the Berlin era, people were not able to cross freely with easy to go to work or go shopping anymore as they had done before. So, from then, in order to get from west to east, they had to pass through border crossings. After 9 months of construction of wall, Stalin accepted and allowed to West citizens could pass the Soviet territory, with the condition they don't stop during their journey and they come back as soon as possible. This agreement, carried out for the federal Germany government, could transport food, medication, among other things, to West Berlin, because that just was at least East Germany. Time after, the American military got another agreement. It allowed to take a walk freely at East Berlin, if and when they come back to West Berlin. It's there where the Soviets opened 3 border crossings between both sides of Germany. They were known as Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie. Those who were available for diplomatic and military people. The Checkpoint Charlie was one of the most historically important locations at the wall in Berlin. The border crossing at the corner of Friedrich and Zimmerstrasse was one of the 3 Allied checkpoints. There were several successful escape attempts at Checkpoint Charlie, but even more failed. Nevertheless, there were several other border crosses, which checkpoint border crosses could be used also depending on nationalities, depending on whether they were West Germans or foreigners or status, such as military personnel or diplomatic West Berliners or West German, as well as foreigners could apply for a visa to get into East Berlin. Also, the Glinic Bridge became famous as a site for spies change. The imprisoned spies were exchanged on the bridge on 3 occasions. But the bridge was also the scene of dramatic escapes and political conflicts. On the other hand, East Berliners and East Germans, however, were not permitted to cross the border to West Berlin or West Germany. In October 25th, 1961, the United States Chief of Mission in West Berlin, Alan Leitner, was stopped in his car by East German police. The situation occurred. Official Soviet police stopped military American vehicles, which were realizing a routine check in West Germany. Soviets required to see papers about American militaries, breaking this agreement they had signed recently. Indeed, USA sent 10 war tanks to the border crossing called Charlie immediately. Without no doubt, Soviet answer sent the same amount war tanks in the same place. And so, this is the end of the third episode. On the next episode, you will know what happened with the Berlin Wall. So, stay with us.
Hello, hello. Welcome to our podcast, Past Stories. I'm Emily Bonilla. So previously, you've heard all of the happenings during the active years of the Berlin Wall that some of us may find a little outrageous and shocking, right? In this last episode, we're going to be reviewing how all of this came to an end and how this became the fall of the Berlin Wall. So my friend Jorge Luis was talking about how Germany and America had a dispute because they were not allowed to cross the border. So this prevention of access for American officials to East Berlin caused a standoff between American and Soviet tanks, which faced off at Checkpoint Charlie. For many hours, both sides stared at each other less than 80 meters of remoteness, waiting for their enemy to fire. The potential for World War III was eventually averted when President John F. Kennedy contacted through a phone call Nikita Khrushchev and convinced him to withdraw his tanks. The American tanks also backed away soon after. Armed soldiers piled through the wall and shot anyone on sight attempting to escape. Ditches, barbed wires, guard dogs, searchlights, bunkers, and even minefields were also set up to prevent escape attempts. Then President John F. Kennedy visited Berlin on June 26, 1963. He made a speech known as Ich bin ein Berliner, referring to himself as a Berliner in spirit, as a way of ensuring that the United States would fully support West Berliners and Germans. The wall stabilized East Germany's economy by preventing its workforce from leaving, but turning its reputation, becoming a global symbol of communist repression. As part of reconciliation with the East, the Basic Treaty of 1972 recognizes Germany pragmatically, while West Germany retained its hope for eventual reunification. After some time, on June 12, 1987, the United States President Ronald Reagan arrived in West Berlin for its 750th anniversary celebration. In his speech at the Brandenburg Gate, he challenged the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the wall. Although the Eastern regime gradually allowed family visits, he tried to discourage people from exercising these rights with an arduous bureaucratic process and high fees. Nonetheless, this was overwhelmed by applications. Gunnar Schabowski, the East German communist official who was the unofficial spokesman, had announced a new freedom of travel for East Germans to the West so that they could apply for visas from the state agency in an orderly manner. By the time of 1980s, the liberalization of other Eastern Bloc regimes caused massive demonstrations for free travel and demands for democracy. On the evening of November 9, 1989, East Germany tried to diffuse tension by making travel permits easier to obtain. But the announcement brought thousands of East Berliners to the border crossing points in the wall, forcing the guards suddenly to open the gates immediately. Rejoicing crowds poured into Berlin as people from both sides danced atop the wall, and others began to demolish the wall with whatever tools that they could find. And although the border guards initially tried to maintain order, it was soon clear that the years of division had ended. Also, people celebrated the removal of the wall, and today, parts of the wall still stand as a reminder of the reunion of the nation. On one side is filled with color, graffiti, political slogan, art. However, on the other side, it's bare concrete. After 4 decades, Germany was officially reunified in October 1990, and the Soviet Union fell soon after. The Berlin Wall became a symbol of ideological division and suppression of human rights during the Cold War. It represented not only a physical barrier for the people of Germany, but also an ideological divide that split the nation in two. Thank you so much for listening to us.